inspired the DIY biology lab?
That's a great question. So first of all, I just have to say that Nature Lab stands for North Troy Art, Technology, and Urban Research in Ecology. So I know that's a mouthful, but we tried to actually think through, like, what is this space going to be? And why are we doing this? You know, why are we interested in this sort of community laboratory for this space? So we're just finishing the building of the Nature Lab Environmental Education Center. And one of the things that we're doing in this building is we're putting a do-it-yourself biology lab available for the community at large on the first floor. So I'm super excited about this. And I just want to back up a little bit and talk to our listeners about the kind of history of these kinds of laboratories and what they really represent. So I just have to read this quote from one of my favorite inspirations, which is this woman who is sometimes considered a biohacker. And she is named Meredith Patterson. And about 10 years ago, at a conference in California, she delivered what was called a biopunk manifesto. And this was really to a large group of people who were beginning to work and make their own kind of home laboratories. And so one of the things she says is that scientific literacy is necessary for a functioning society in the modern age. Scientific literacy is not science education. A person educated in science can understand science. A scientifically literate person can do science. In other words, she's talking about making science yourself. Scientific literacy empowers everyone who possesses it to be active contributors to their own healthcare, the quality of their food, water, and air, their very interactions with their own bodies, and the complex world around them. So I just love that quote from Meredith Patterson, because she really sums up some of the reasons why I'm really passionate about getting this project off the ground and available to people in our area. There's a history going back, obviously, forever, but at least the past 10 years or so, many DIY community biocenters started up around the country and around the world. So there's a really famous one that I used to be on the board of directors of called GenSpace in Brooklyn, if anybody's down there, and another one in San Francisco called BioCurious. There was one in Boston. Now they're everywhere. There's a really great one in Baltimore called Bugs. And they're really trying to offer an alternative to educational institutions like universities for people to get their hands wet in science and in biology, and to begin to explore the tools of that for their own edification, for their own curiosity, and to maybe follow up on projects that they can't do in a university setting. And I don't mean something illegal. I really don't. This is a very self-regulated community, but I mean something that, you know, just sort of investigates what's local to those spaces. And we can get into that a little bit more later, but that's just the beginning of the answer to your question. The other thing I'll just say is the DIY Community Science Lab, it's kind of a citizen science project. So it encourages, and we don't really like to use the word citizen science anymore, because it implicates that some people who may not be citizens might not be invited to this conversation, and we want everyone to be invited. So it's also called community science. But this means that we're, as a group of citizens or just sort of, you know, civic people, we're trying to investigate our own environments on our own with our own tools and make some discoveries for ourselves.
What forms of biology will the lab focus on the most?
Well, we are really going to be pushing three different kinds of projects to start, and this will, and things will grow from there. One is to look at the our air, soil, and water quality from around the area, from around the local area. So we have a really wonderful project already started with Riverkeeper, which is a really incredible nonprofit that kind of protects the Hudson River, more than kind of, they do. And they've been running tests for Enterococcus to test that in the river for years now, years and years. And they decided that they kind of needed to expand their facilities and get someone who could have a laboratory in the northern part of the river. And so they asked us if we wanted to work with them. The other part of this ask from Riverkeeper was that they wanted us to help them get more in touch with our local community. And so we have actually been able to, through a grant with them, hire three local youth who are coming from the immediate community, who are three young women of color. They're both 14 and 15 years old, and they are now our water justice fellows, science fellows, and they're going to be with us for 3 years doing this kind of research in the lab on the water, taking water samples monthly and analyzing them. So that's like a typical project that we will be doing. Huge amount of work being done around air quality. There was a great movement to shut down the kind of burning of toxic waste at the Norlite plant, which is just across the river at Cohoes. And a lot of air from there was coming into Troy. So there's been a huge activist movement trying to do that. And now we can also add testing the air to that if once the lab opens. The same thing for the soil. We have an amazing project that's starting to come to the lab this spring. And that's called Our Soil. And it's with an NSF, National Science Foundation grant through the University of Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute. And Professor Abby Kinchy of the Science Technology Studies Department is head of this grant. It's an amazing project to try and develop DIY tools. So do-it-yourself tools, and they're also called do-it-together, of how to analyze the soil itself for heavy toxins like lead, like arsenic. These kinds of soil tests cost huge amounts of money. People don't realize that we have an unbelievable amount of lead in our inner cities due to historic sort of industry dumps, lead paint that was used in buildings. We used to have lead in our gasoline. There are a huge number of reasons why it's there, but it's really dangerous to people who are trying to just have a regular vegetable garden in their backyard. So this is a toolkit that's being developed to test the soil that somebody might be using for a garden to see if it has high lead levels or other toxins, and you know what that might look like. So this is going to be really a cheap way for people to get these kinds of information, which is going to be fabulous. And this is building off a project that started in the South, in Latin America, and in Santiago, and it's going to continue here and go on for a few years. So those are the kinds of things we're interested in working on, with the emphasis on the pollutions and understanding the environmental toxins around us. I definitely think that one of the other things that is a goal of ours is to get a variety of people and diverse peoples into a space like a science laboratory and to start working with those tools themselves. This may encourage people to go on to a university training, and become, you know, some form of a scientist, which would be fabulous. And even if it just trains people to how to look, how to be curious, how to look differently at nature, at biological systems around them, how to ask questions of biotech science. This is really going to be useful because there are fewer and fewer science labs in high schools and in sort of places that are less access to wealth, and where the nature lab is situated, it is in a community that is really economically devastated. So it's important to give access to people, particularly in this community itself, the knowledge of how to work with these tools and how to ask these kinds of questions. I also think, because we're such a science-driven community and society, I also think that from looking at statistics of how many people of color, Black, Indigenous, and people of color there are represented in the scientific community, in academia, in research. There's not enough. There's not enough people who can ask the kinds of questions that Black and Indigenous and people of color ask for their own communities. So this is why I'm hoping this lab will begin to open up other kinds of conversations with other diverse groups and give people access to tools that they might need.
Could this lab also be used as a study space for students or some sort of supplement to their lessons from school?
Yeah, absolutely. We already have a middle school program that comes to us from Troy Middle School, and these are students who can come once a week, and we do different kinds of, you know, activities with them, different kinds of workshops, from looking at seeds and different kinds of plants and what how they grow and how they can accumulate toxins from the ground themselves, to how much sugar should you be eating in a day and how much is in your soda pop. You know, so there's a whole range of kind of workshops and different kinds of projects that we have been developing over the years. And we'll continue to do that. We're working on the curriculum now. We would love people's input into this, both as teachers, and then also if, you know, any schools in the local area want to try to contact us about doing these after-school programs with students, we're super open to it. We're hoping this is an area that will really grow, because I think, as I said, middle schools and high schools are having limited access to scientific tools of science and sort of basic tools of science. And this lab will be like a, you know, sort of well outfitted high school laboratory, you know, and so it's called a biosafety level one laboratory. So you can't do any work with human cells or anything weird like that. So we'll be working a lot with plants, you know, and as I said, doing testing.